La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hola, amigos. It is hour number two. Don't forget tomorrow. Joe, we'll be close to you. I don't know if it's exactly in your neck of the words. Clayton Holmes of Homa is going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 3. Stop on by. Check out the great deals on the manufactured homes. Come on by. Say hi to us. You know what? You know the real reason? Firehouse subs will be provided. There you go. So if you're looking for some, like, Jordan's face just now, your eyes got massive like this. You know, you're eating a bag of Zapp's chips that I brought from like Mardi Gras. Are they even remotely fresh?
They're crispy. They're crispy, so they must be fresh. So I'm looking forward to my Firehouse sub tomorrow.
Look at you. You like all of a sudden got really pumped up.
Free food, I'm in.
Okay, just got a confirmation. Coach Thibodeau is going to join us tomorrow at 12:30. Your Nichols Colonels baseball team. So we'll be doing that.
Solid.
There you go. You're just going there for the subs, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I know you are.
I have an essay due, but I'm going for some food.
You know what? Here's the thing about the Clayton Holmes. You can walk in there, and you will see. I mean, it looks like your house. You know? Like, it's incredible what they can do. So you can find one that's comfortable to yours. You can pick a color. Got plenty there in the parking lot. Will be
might have to take one home with me.
So I'm saying you can. Well, regardless, you can just, you know, go on a couch and they got, you know, they got them furnished. So you could walk in and see what it would look like. You can have your own mobile home for the day while you write your essay and eat your Firehouse subs.
While you're doing the show.
While I'm doing the show, just try not to spill on anything since somebody might actually buy the home. Okay,
but that I would just increase the value.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes.
No.
Buy a home where slightly, Jordan the intern slightly, accidentally spilled a little bit of his Firehouse sandwich on the sofa.
Slightly used is not exactly what we're looking for. Okay? Brian, the enemy chiming in, because I was asking, what's an iconic moment? Define it. What's the definition? His is, an iconic moment happens in sports when an event simultaneously transcends the sport and life. I agree. There you go. Good definition. Look at him. Wordsmith. Sometimes being a certain wordsmith gets him kicked off of Twitter, but that's a really good wordsmith there. It is, though, right? I mean, when you think about it, from a situation that you just remember, again, it's incredible. I honestly wondered how many people literally thought about golf a little bit more since then.
I've been watching YouTube videos.
Have you?
I have a green in my living room right now with my.
You have a green in your living
room? Yes. It's like a rollout green. And I got my bag of clubs, took them out, and I've just been swinging away.
Just swinging away?
Yes.
All right, well, you did tell us you could have been a tight end for LSU. Apparently now you could have been a Masters champion.
Yeah, could have been Roy McIlroy.
On that note, Deuce Wyndham joins The Athletic at Rev Deuce Wyndham. R-E-V, Deuce Wyndham is the way to follow him over on Twitter. The Athletic, Nola, as well. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, man. How are you, Deuce?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Good talking to you.
Dude, you posted something yesterday, and it got me thinking. And no, look, it was great. You did exactly what social media is for, and it was good, right? So he comes out yesterday and goes, you know, would you trade Alvin Kamara, first-round pick, third-round pick of 2020 for Russell Wilson, who had set that deadline yesterday at midnight to get a new deal or else? And initially I was like, come on, man, no. And then, look, I saw you going back and forth in the thread with people, and you were logical, right? You said Alvin Kamara can win you games. Russell Wilson can win you Super Bowl. When you looked at it from that perspective, what made you think of that question? Because you'd have to pay a pretty penny for a guy that's now the highest paid player in the NFL as of, you know, midnight today.
Well, truthfully, it was, you know, Monday morning. it's a slow day in the dude's room.
Yes.
Well, let's see what we can do with the fans. But it's also from the aspect of, I think most people right now, and, you know, fans definitely don't want to hear this, and it's understandable. I think a lot of people around the team, and, you know, you and I have talked about this, feel that this is probably Breeze's last year.
Yeah.
Which means, as a franchise, even though you're going to play with Breeze this year, you have to look forward to the future. So you have to look, what are possible names that are going to be available in 2020, whether that's a quarterback in the draft or in free agency or even a trade option, which is what Russell Wilson, you know, could have been had they not done this massive, mind-blowing extension for $35 million a year. But that's where it's really coming from, the premise where would the Saints be willing to go out and pay big money in both a trade and a financial agreement to get a top five player at the position to continue the Saints' current Super Bowl status of, you know, this could be the year, this could be the year, or would they revert to the riskier option, which is trying to draft a guy and hoping that you can build around him even though you save a lot of money? And that's just a question the Saints are going to have to find themselves trying to answer here very soon. And, you know, it's good to get a gauge of what the Saints fans would say, because here's the truth about Kamara. As great as he is, in a couple years, he's probably going to cost $12 to $14 million a year based on what other big contracts are.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm trying desperately, Deuce, not to think of the decisions that will have to be made in the next couple of years of who gets paid and who doesn't. We debated this yesterday on the show about your quarterback discussion you were saying, and let's throw in Teddy here, because that's what I use. That was my end of it. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you know, talked about Russell Wilson and the stats and what he's done with not as much talent. When I look at Teddy versus Russell, and again, it was just the hypothetical that you threw out there. I was like, all right, look, you got a guy that isn't going to cost you nearly as much to do that, at least that you think of to do that. He's young. He was a playoff quarterback. He did take a team to do that. Mm-hmm. We'd be looking at, let's say next year he starts his third year, going into his third year into the system. You have to imagine if Sean has an idea that's going to be, he'd already would have started the tailoring process, et cetera, that I'm going to go in that area because of what you just said, though. Whether it's a young quarterback or whether it's Teddy, I need my draft picks to help him to rebuild or to not rebuild, but to sustain and to add depth and to add players because I may not be able to pay them all. So in other words, I guess what I'm getting at is I need the money because Russell's going to cost me and I need the draft picks, which is why I'm like, I'm going to go with Teddy and see if it works or not first.
And I think that's a very sound argument. And you see a lot of teams having success in the playoffs this past year. It wasn't a lot of the big, highly paid guys like the Aaron Rodgers or the Kirk Cousins. It was the teams with the younger contracts. But on the flip side, the team that won the Super Bowl was a team with a quarterback that had a higher number and, you know, a great. So it's that difficult balance. So Teddy Bridgewater, in terms of a risk factor, isn't as much of a risk as a draft pick would be. But he's also not as much of a potential guarantee that a Russell Wilson would have been. Or, you know, a guy that we know is playing at a consistent top five type level. I mean, we always talk about all the great weapons the Saints have. Well, Russell Wilson just put a 110 quarterback rating, having one of the worst offensive lines, one of the worst offensive systems, and very few playmakers. He was really Seattle. He is Seattle, getting them close to the playoffs every year. And you put him in a situation where it's better in terms of talent around him. You think maybe he could have more success. So I think Teddy's a good option to go with because we're seeing a trend. And what's the old adage where was it like 13.5% of the cap? Any quarterback who's ever cost more than that has never won a Super Bowl. And
right.
If you get a guy like Wilson, he's going to cost more than that. So as a team, you have to decide, do I want to try to find a middle ground and make it work with a quarterback we're not as sure on? Or do we go for broke and get the biggest name and hope it works?
Speak with Deuce Windham of The Athletic. Going to get to your review on video on some film on new center Nick Easton here when we close out. But along these lines, you look at what the Saints have done in free agency. They address some pretty good needs. And to me, it's made 62, hey, best player available. I see a lot of receivers in mock drafts going in that direction. Do you think the Saints, A, trade into the first round? I just don't see that because, again, what I was saying earlier, you'd have to mortgage some picks of the future. And B, I just don't see a player that would make you do that just yet. Again, that's just me. But I do think at 62, you can really just grab who's the best guy there. Do you see a sort of a need sort of combo best player?
Well, I do think that they're going to move. When I think move, though, I'm not thinking in the first round. I mean, for me, they have to really be in love with somebody, or somebody that they like is falling. You know, so I've talked to a few people who still believe that it's possible that, say, four quarterbacks go in the first round. You know, the guys like Drew Lock, Haskins, Murray. If that happens, and it tends to happen even in years where the class is called weak, well, other big names are falling. And let's say an Ed Oliver, who they put extra attention into looking at and is not expecting to get anywhere close to the second round. But say an Ed Oliver starts falling. Well, that's a position of need because Jonah Rankins is injured, not going to be back to around November. He's also another young body where you could have two, potentially elite athlete-type defensive tackles to put on that line to go with Davenport, to go with Cam Jordan. And if that type of a big highlight name starts getting close to the, you know, top of the first round, early second, you could see the type of movement. And I could also see them move to a pick really close to them. You've got the Houston Texans who have, I think it's 54 and 55, back-to-back picks, really close to where the Saints are already at, and not the same cost level of moving up into the first round, but still getting a top 75 talent. I think that's a spot you could look at them moving into, maybe end up with two second-rounders or a second and a third instead of settling for four picks in round six and seven.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It makes a lot of sense to me for them to do something like that, move a little higher in the second, get into the third or fourth, because you have a second, a five, two sixes, two sevens. Now, that would make sense a lot when it goes to that. What do you think of Will Greer? John Forkay's been on a couple of times. He loves him. If a guy like him is somewhere around 62, could you see them taking a chance at him?
I could, and in fact, they've spent a lot of time with Greer on this offseason in terms of meetings and, you know, really putting some eyes on him. I think with Greer, a lot of people who studied him agree that he's got a lot of potential. A lot of also agree that he's the type of quarterback you want to sit for a couple years, develop, work on things like mechanics, especially his lower body mechanics, which is something that they were looking at the Senior Bowl when he was with coach of the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I do think that that's an option, though. I think, you know, even though you have Teddy for 1 year, just kind of like we talked about earlier, going into 2020, you want to answer that big question. The safest way to answer the quarterback question is to throw as many names as possible at it and see what sticks. You know, now the flip side of that is, if you go Greer, you're talking about having four quarterbacks on the roster this year, and that's pretty rare. Granted, Taysom Hill is a big-time, you know, X-factor type, but you don't see four quarterbacks on one roster very often.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, I'm just going to throw this out there because I get this every now and then. Is there any shot that Taysom Hill could be a quarterback, or do we just see him being sort of this role that he is right now in the NFL?
I think any player who puts in work, and, you know, especially working with guys like Sean Payton, Drew Brees, yes, there's a chance. Is it realistic? I wouldn't say that. I think it's telling that, you know, Sean Payton said as soon as Teddy Bridgewater walked through the door, he was the instant backup. And the fact that, you know, week 17, when it came to putting a starter out there not named Drew, it was Teddy. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean Taysom can't. Taysom is older than Teddy, though. He's not as experienced and he's not as refined as a quarterback. But, you know, there's one thing about Taysom that he has. He's very determined. He's an extremely hard worker. And everybody just loves him. He has a leadership quality. So he definitely has the potential to grow into that.
Let's close up, Deuce. Deuce Windham in The Athletic. You spent an hour back over the weekend and watched the new center for the Saints, Nick Easton, play. What did you learn?
Well, I learned first and foremost that he's not Max Unger, but that's not necessarily a bad thing either. Two things that he did really well were technique in terms of hand placement, and then also he moved well in space. And those are two huge things that the Saints asked their guys to do. You know, you ask him to run these outside, inside zone type runs that Kamara is fantastic at, that he gets most of his big yards and big runs from. He's a guy that can move in the screen game, get out in space, and put hands on a guy. And I think that, you know, and the game that I watched this past week was the only starting game he really had at center in 2017. So some of that could also have been, hey, I'm not used to being that back at this position, because he played left guard a lot that year. But you also saw some passiveness from us, where he wasn't necessarily as aggressive. You know, it's kind of like you hear scouts talking about, you want to see a guy get in the weight room a little bit more, you want to see a little bit more punch behind his hands. But the main thing is, you saw a very quality player, a starter caliber player who fits what the Saints are wanting in terms of a scheme fit. And when the Saints have gone after those type of players, they've seemed to have found a lot of success.
People want to go read in depth what Deuce was looking at The Athletic. Nola, follow him over on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. Of course, when we get him on to chime in a little bit, we're getting closer. Can you believe the draft's next weekend?
Man, April has been fantastic, man. We got the draft. We've got Game of Thrones is back. Yeah. Tigers is winning the Masters. It's just a great month.
Look, we were just talking about how he translates, and just it doesn't matter if you follow golf all the time. Honestly, realistically, how much golf did you watch before this weekend?
Absolutely zero.
You were tuned in on Sunday, weren't you?
Yes. When I got a notification on my phone the day before of the high placement and how he had a chance. I was like, you know what? This might be worth paying attention to. And it's just a fantastic story. Whether or not you like golf, it's a great story. It's a great sports story.
There it is. There it is. Deuce Windham, thank you so much for your time, man. Go enjoy the rest of the day.
Thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. At Rev Deuce Windham's the way to follow on Twitter. Again, I just say, Joey, you should have seen it. Poor slice of pizza was about to hit the deck from this little girl, teen, I guess. She's walking back to her table, and this gentleman walking beside his wife, who had a stroller, I mean, just eyes straight down into his phone. Had it horizontal. He was getting the nice, good widescreen picture. And just boom! I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa! And it wasn't just him. I mean, it's incredible. I've never done that. I'm trying to think of the last time where I'm not eating lunch in the food court and I dare have my phone on to watch something. Much less have my wife watch it with me. I mean, I'm trying to think, guys. When's the last time you did that? Right? I know a lot of LSU fans, probably if there's an LSU game going on, maybe the World Series, stuff like that, like a big game. You may do it just normal. That's fine. I'm talking about just, you're with your kid and wife at the mall picking out an Easter outfit, and I had to watch. Funny, what do you think of this, huh? Yeah, it's good. You're not watching, huh? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Ooh-wee, the flowers are blooming and people are going outside. And at Barker Kia, we're saving you money during the Spring Fest sales event. The perfect time to get into a new Kia from Barker Kia. How about drive home in a new 2019 Sportage and take $4,500 off the MSRP? Or jump into a new 2019 Kia Soul and take $4,000 off the MSRP? Hey, you want a little bit more? Right now, you can take off $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2019 Kia Sorento EX V6 with third row seating, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now, that's how we roll during the Spring Fest at Barker Kia with $4,500 off new Kia Sportages, $4,000 off new Kia Souls, and how about $5,500 off new Kia Sorentos? So come save during the Spring Fest sales event only at Barker Kia in Houma or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people, and remember that strength and laughter.
90KT036 MSRP 2012 2000 real discount 2000 cash. Starting number 90KT032 MSRP 2020 2000 real discount 2000 customer cash. 90KT06 MSRP 3744 1300 real discount 3000 customer cash. 1000 bonus cash. Who's CPML? Email to for details. Offer ends April 30, 2019.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Car Rescue Wayne's Air and Heat. Rescuing you from the heat and cold and saving you from high prices. Call 985-532-6640.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be over at Clayton Homes, 3936 Highway 311 in Houma. Let's get off of the 311 exit. Go left. Right? Like you're going south. It'll be over on your right. A little past the Ellendale Country Club, which we were last week. Joey, at some point, we'll stop by and say hi, maybe. Maybe. I'm not promising anything, though.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Just, I'll promise to stop by and say hi like I promised to give a snowball to Jordan the intern. Coming up at 1:30. Gary Smith covers the Tulane Green Wave for The Athletic. Do I dare say a big game tonight between Tulane and UNO? Wave swept USF on the diamond. Continuing to have a good season. And there are the Privateers, a bit of a thorn in the Green Wave side. Manny Pepys, the voice of the Privateers, will join us at 2:15 to talk Tim Grubbs, a little baseball. I'm supposed to, Joey, throw out the first pitch on Thursday. Do you want to tell folks what's possibly coming on Thursday? Being the meteorologist of the group here. 100% chance rain, Joey, for Thursday. Storms that remind everyone of this weekend. That's what Margaret Orr told us that on Monday. Yep. Thanks. So, Jordan, I can see the smirk from here.
I mean,
I can see that. I did. You know what? Don't. Because Todd's already told me I El Gato Negro'd myself.
You did.
He said it might be the first time in history you've El Gato Negro'd yourself on a first pitch.
You ruined it for yourself.
How did I ruin it for myself? Because every other day this week, including the weekend's gorgeous. Because literally the only day, not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow, not Friday, Saturday. It's nice. Sunday, like sunny skies, high of 80, cool temps, low humidity. Every other day this week is gorgeous. Thursday, not 30%, Jordan, not 40, not a spotty 15. Most of the coverage is 100% chance rate.
For the Elgato.
Yeah, apparently between Wednesday night and Friday morning, weather from somewhere is going to matriculate and boom, ruin my first pitch. Not bitter or anything, Jordan, at all. Only been practicing for days.
Maybe that's someone trying to tell you that something bad will happen.
Nothing was going to happen.
Maybe a tumble with Carver.
You know, last night, I'm sitting there in the backyard, and he's sliding, and I'm like, come here, need to practice real quick. Back, you know, he wanted to slide, so he's kind of fussing. So I had a wobbling toddler while I tried to grab one of those Mardi Gras stuff balls that we got off of a float. You know, and I aimed just at the right brick in the backyard of the house, and I'm trying to hit it for the strike, and he's dangling off my arm. I wasn't letting go, though. Like, he was leaning fully back, yelling. Feet kicking, his right hand slapping my left shoulder. My wife just happens to come home at that exact moment and goes, what are you doing? I'm practicing. Because, look, that's the worst case scenario that happens Thursday, right? I'm there on the mound, and little guy doesn't want to be on my arm. He wants out, and I have to hold on to him because I'm in mid-pitch. So it was a perfect practice. I had to, because that's the worst case scenario. If he stands still, it's business. I mean, it's right in there. Right in there.
No.
Yes. Point is, Jordan, like you just said, right at the end of that, my wife goes, I don't think it's a good idea to bring him up there.
Exactly.
But again, as I've told you and I asked her, what makes you think that something bad would happen? What makes you think that I'm going to drop him? What makes you think that I'm going to tumble and go Charlie Brown and Peanuts and my socks are going to go flying, shoes are going to go... I'm literally taking a step forward and dropping my right arm and releasing a ball.
That's the whole reason why.
It's not difficult. Like, I watch these celebrities and these other people do these first pitches. I have no idea how they can throw a ball that bad. Like, it's impossible to me. You come forward with your arm, you release it above your head. It's going to go straight. I don't understand. Like 50 Cent, what do you throw it, 5 feet straight into the ground? I don't know. I'll be fine.
No, you won't.
Weather permitting, I'll be fine. CBSSports.com just released the AFC side of things yesterday. They did the NFC side of things, mock drafts, all 7 rounds, not just one, seven rounds. RJ White composed it for the Saints. He writes, the Saints are square in the middle of their championship window, and nowhere is that more apparent than in their list of 2019 draft picks, as various trades to strengthen their roster leave them with just one pick in the first four rounds. Don't expect their collection of talent to look markedly different than the Sunday after the draft as it does right now. So this is what they have. Remember, just kind of give you an idea. Round two, 62nd pick overall. Round five, 168 overall. Round six, they got a pair of them, 177 and 202. Round seven, they got two of them, 231st overall and 244th overall. So those are the draft picks the Saints have for a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? So they said that the whole staff kind of got together, compiled positional rankings to identify each need for the team in the draft. And the highest percentage was defensive back at 14.3. Linebacker was next, 13.3. Edge rusher, 12.2. Interior defensive line, 8.4. Offensive line, 7.6. Receiver and tight end, 7.2. Running back, 4.8. Quarterback, 3.2. So to give you an idea, right? And that's what it is. And they were talking about the scale. On a scale of 1 to 32 was considered a need. Okay? So that gives you an idea. I'm just saying of all the numbers they compiled, the highest need they felt of the team was defensive back, and that's a 14. So this is who they have. Have a lot of corners, tackles, safety, defensive ends. So this is what they have. RJ White in the second round. Are you ready for this? Because they trade to Detroit. Trade their pick to Detroit to move down and select and pick up a third and fourth round pick. So hear me out. RJ White of CBSSports.com says they trade out of the second to pick up a high third and a fourth round pick. With those picks in the third round, he has him selecting wide receiver Emmanuel Hall, Missouri. In the fourth round, cornerback Corey Ballantyne, Washburn. In the fifth round, linebacker Tavon Coney from Notre Dame. He has them trading the other fifth round pick and a sixth round pick to Oakland to pick up a little lower six round picks. 184, safety cornerback Evan Washington out of Colorado, and they have him selecting not again until the seventh round, as he has the Saints trading 202 to Detroit and 231 to Detroit in order to get offensive tackle and guard Joshua Miles from Morgan State. So his selections are receiver Emmanuel Hall, cornerback Corey Ballantyne, linebacker Tavon Coney, safety corner Evan Washington, and offensive tackle guard Joshua Miles. It's interesting that he has that there. Ryan Wilson is coming out with his picks on the 18th. Chris Trapasso has the Saints selecting in the second round, not trading out. And they have him going with wide receiver Stanley Morgan Jr. out of Nebraska. I see a lot of people throwing that name out there. In the fifth round, he has him selecting Jelani Tavai, or Tavy, from Hawaii. He's a linebacker. Round six, the two picks, defensive end Darryl Johnston from North Carolina A&T, running back Travion Williams from Texas A&M, and in round seven, receivers Jacoby Myers, NC State, and receiver Greg Dortich from Wake Forest. So a lot of receivers, and again, these mock picks, for whatever it's worth, and again, just between now and next Thursday, any mock drafts will be throwing out those names so you can kind of get familiar all the way around. Not very many places have all seven. There you go. Thought I'd pass that along for you. Quick break. We come back. Gary Smith of the Advocate covers a Tulane Green Wave. What did he feel, what did he saw over the weekend at the spring game for Tulane? And also previews UNO and Tulane tomorrow. Coach Thibodeau is going to join us at 12:30 at Clayton Homes for the Colonels. As they get back into action on Thursday, take on Southeastern in the weekend series before, obviously, on Eastern. We're trying to get Coach Rebo to recap his spring game back on Saturday, trying to get a phone interview on Thursday. He's doing player exit interviews right now, essentially, to wrap up spring today and tomorrow, which is why we don't have him. So trying to get Coach Rebo, hopefully this week. Sports Hangover coming up next. More on ESPN New Orleans.
You're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Pain or no pain, your wisdom teeth should be checked every year. If wisdom teeth come in properly and meet the right conditions, they are generally safe to keep. But left unchecked, they can put you at risk for gum disease and damage to adjacent teeth. Some wisdom teeth grow in at such an angle that they never break through the gum, which can lead to tooth decay, cysts, and tumors. These impacted teeth can only be seen on x-rays, so the damage they may cause can go undetected. Some people just don't have enough room for another tooth in their mouth, so their wisdom teeth can affect adjacent teeth when they come in. This can make it difficult to chew, difficult to keep them all clean, and misalign your teeth. Not all wisdom teeth need to be removed, but they all do need to be monitored by an oral and maxillofacial surgeon. Find a surgeon near you for a complete examination. If your wisdom teeth do need to be removed, the procedure can be done in an office setting with minimal post-operative pain and swelling. Your wisdom teeth should be checked every year. Find your local oral and maxillofacial surgeon at myoms.org.
On The Sporting Life, Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. It took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ah, there it is. The basic baby blue background of Gary Smith's Twitter account. I love it. You know what? Don't change it. It's who you okay. are, Gary. And
it is.
You should just keep it. I really do.
Yep. I think you got a point there. And plus, we've got to have 10 seconds to start my appearance on your show every
sure.
time I'm on.
I honestly don't know how else to welcome you. At G-U-E-R Smith is the way to bring you in. You can follow him over on Twitter. Covers the Tulane Green Wave for the New Orleans Advocate. How are you today, man?
Doing good. Actually, my 8-year-old son's on spring break this week, so we're at the zoo right now.
Nice.
I told him just run along. I'll find him when I'm off here.
Dude,
my wife
was
sorry.
So we're doing that actually on Friday. We're going to do that on Friday. So I won't keep you. Let's get right to it. Let's start with football and then get into the game today mm-hmm. on the diamond. But on football, they wrap up Saturday. It really seemed like Coach Fritz was really happy with what spring mm-hmm. ball went in. You went to a couple of practices. You saw the game for what it was. Recap it for us, and what did you think the spring was like for Tulane with the new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it was a pretty good spring. I mean, the offense is a work in progress right now. They threw a whole lot at them. It's a totally different offense than what they've been running before, and so they had some growing pains in the spring. But the big difference, they've got playmakers on this offense. So it was scratchy at times all spring. It was a little scratchy in the spring game, but they made big plays. And Tulane's past spring games, offense has been hard to find, honestly. And a fair amount of their regular season games, offense was a little hard to find in some of those games, too, which is why Tulane has a new offensive coordinator, having finished in the bottom 5 of the AAC in offense and scoring in yards all 3 years under Willie Fritz so far. But with Justin McMillan at quarterback, he threw an absolutely perfect 50-yard strike to Darnell Mooney. We didn't see that in the past. We didn't even get to see the best, a lot of their running backs. They're so deep. But Amari Jones had an outstanding spring. He's a good kickoff returner as a freshman. He's going to be an outstanding runner and receiver, joining Darius Bradwell and Corey Dauphine. That they've just got a loaded backfield. Jalen McCleskey, the wide receiver transfer from Oklahoma State, he only caught one pass in the game, but it was a sweet little, ran a nice slant route, caught a touchdown pass from McMillan. They've got a lot of weapons to work with on offense. And it may take a few weeks. It may take a little time next year, but they're gonna be a good. It should be a much, much better offense. And then the other reason that they're excited is they're just so loaded on the defensive line. Again, a lot of those guys didn't play a lot of snaps in the spring game, but they're gonna dominate the defensive line. They're gonna dominate most of the teams they play next year. They're too deep. They've got about 8 starter quality players. They've got an all conference player and Patrick Johnson and probably another one all over the line, so they're just in good shape up there. And I think Willie Fritz is just confident about how good a football team he's going to have next fall.
Gary, have you been drink? I mean, you're telling me dominated on the defensive line?
On the defensive line, not the rest. Their defensive line is going to be dominant. I mean, look, when they played Memphis last year, they had 7 sacks. And completely pretty much destroyed that Memphis. This is a group with no seniors. They had no seniors last year that were regular contributors. They still have no seniors. So last year that was mainly freshmen and sophomores doing all the damage. Now that is going to be sophomores and juniors. This is the best defensive line Tulane's had since I moved back to New Orleans in 2008. They've never had a defensive line that was this good. And that can cover up a lot of weaknesses on a football team when you're that good up front.
I'll tell you what, that's why I was asking if you were on the sauce already this morning. Yeah. You're telling me they have weapons on offense? You're
they
telling
do.
Me that
now,
they can throw the football, okay. Maybe? I mean, yeah.
To come down a little bit from that, they still have questions on the offensive line. That's also been a problem since the time I moved back to New Orleans in 2008. And that's
really
continued.
It really has.
It's hard to judge them when they're going against their own defensive line because their defensive line is so good, but they need better play up there because they had some really good games last year and then they had some really bad games last year. The one that comes to mind the most is against a Houston team that basically got shredded. A defense that gave up, I think, 50 points in 4 of their last 5 games. When Tulane played them, they had a hard time getting a first down in the first half. That's the area that still has to improve for Tulane to meet its goals of trying to win a conference, to compete for a conference championship. And then the other concern is their safeties are unproven. Rod Teamer, 3-year starter, a heady player, a leader, is not there. And we don't know what they have at safety right now. They've got some young guys and Chase Kirshen, who has kind of struggled in pass coverage in his first 2 years. They're slated to play there. So that would be the other concern. So the back end of the defense and the offensive line would be the big concerns going in. But they're still in a much, much better position than they've been in a long, long time.
You know, to wrap up on football, Dana Holgorsen, to me, from the outside, right? I mean, that's a huge hire. Grabbing a coach from West Virginia, perennial top 25 playoffs. I mean, you big-time bowl games. I mean, to go to Houston and that's in your division – look, you went bowling last year, you're co-champ, so it just really seems like that division just got even tougher, though, with that coaching, because Houston's not waiting around. They expect to win, and you don't make that kind of hire and pay that kind of money if you're not saying they want to go to the playoffs.
No, they don't. They're not joking around, and it's true. They've been relatively competitive the last 2 years with bad coaching. let's be honest. And they had Ed Oliver on their defense last year, and even before he got injured and stopped playing, their defense wasn't any good. Now, how's that even possible? Because this guy's one of the 5 best defensive tackles in the country, a dominating player, and they still couldn't stop people. Yeah, that's a program that wants to win. They could have sat there and said, "Hey, we were co-division champions, blah blah blah, this, that, and the other. We're okay." But you're right; they want to win. Now this year, they don't have Ed Oliver on their roster. If they'd have been able to get Dana Holgorsen a year earlier, I think they really would have had something. But you're right, and they are they recruit on a different plane than a lot of the other teams in the American right. Athletic Conference. So if they get the coaching, the good coaching, they're going to be a tough team to beat. We'll see. You know, at West Virginia, Holgerson's West Virginia team had some issues on defense themselves. They were really good on offense. So it'll be right. interesting to see if he can make those immediate improvements. But certainly Houston, in terms of resources and who they're able to recruit and how they recruit, they should be year in and year out the best team in the AAC West.
Well, that is going to be the game, and it comes early against Tulane this year. All right, let's move on to the Diamond. Speak with Gary Smith of The Athletic. Final question for you, bud, so you can get back to the zoo with your family. Appreciate the time. All right. UNO, April 2nd, 8-7, heartbreaking fashion for that game there. Look, am I wrong in saying the Privateers seem to be the thorn in Tulane's side right now? Because they need to win these midweek games.
They do, and UNO's beaten them four straight years at UNO. And three of those four were in walk-off fashion. They really have been a thorn in Tulane's side. They're sticking. They're going to throw Connor Pellerin, their failed closer, but with great stuff as a starter. They used him at Southeastern last week. He was actually very effective, didn't get any help from his defense. Last time we saw him against UNO, he struck out six of the first eight batters he faced, retired eight out of the first nine batters he faced, then gave up a single and a wind-aided walk-off home run to lose the game. That's kind of been the way it's gone for Tulane at UNO. He was absolutely overwhelming UNO's hitters, and then suddenly he loses the game. And Tulane has to win these midweek games. They're a regional caliber team, but they don't have much margin for error because of their non-conference schedule is weak this year, and their RPI isn't very good right now. So you're right. They absolutely need to win these type of games. They're a better team than UNO. For whatever reason, UNO's 5-0 though on Tuesdays this year. they're a different team, and they've beaten Southern Miss, they beat Tulane, they beat UL Lafayette, and they've beaten pretty good teams on Tuesdays. Having lost, like I said, three of the last four in walk-off fashion at UNO, it's time for Tulane to find a way to win this type of game. Tulane is the better team. UNO is really struggling this year, except on Tuesdays. it's a big one for Tulane to go in there and finally get that thorn out of their side.
Gary, favorite part of the zoo is what?
My favorite part of the zoo is when we leave at the end. No, I'm just kidding. I actually like the two-headed snake in the reptile. There is a two-headed snake in the reptile thing, and it was
okay.
And this is why I'm bad on radio. It was donated by a famous actor who I know very well, and I can't think of his name on air. So that's 5 seconds of dead air, I guess.
No, that's fine, because, again, I'm going Friday, and now you've given me something to look at and point to my two-year-old son who loves, Halloween and creatures. So we will look for the two-headed snake.
It's worth it. It really is.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Go enjoy the rest of your day. At G.R. Smith is the way to follow Gary Smith. Covers the Tulane Green Wave for the New Orleans Athletic. Kind enough to give us a little bit of time during family time out this year. It's a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous day. You know what? Friday's going to be a gorgeous day, which is why we're going to the zoo.
We're going to the zoo?
No, you're not going. I mean, you can come if you want. I got the pass. That you'd be like the caretaker.
You can sneak me in?
I can. I can hook you up. When's the last time, honestly, you've been to the zoo?
It's been a hot minute.
A hot minute, huh?
Yeah, it's been a couple years.
You can't think?
Can't think of it.
Really?
Nope. It's been that long.
Okay.
I like to go see the penguins.
Penguins?
Yeah. Well, that's at the aquarium.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe we could go see the aquarium instead.
You want to go to the aquarium instead?
Yeah, maybe we could do a doubleheader that day.
Okay. Quick break. We come back. Robert Emmett, Golf Tech. We'll talk to him about what he saw on Sunday, not just Masters final round, winning the Masters, but also the other play from some of the other players. It was a fun Sunday to watch, honestly. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
We're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodaux Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodaux.com.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced et cetera, not et cetera.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
The 2019 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series is underway, and you can get caught up on the latest information for this week's race on Fridays right here, ESPN New Orleans. And it's all sponsored by Rogers Parts, locally owned, nationally known. Rogers Parts has been serving the local area for over 50 years. Get the expert analysis and latest news of this week's NASCAR racing event all throughout the season, every Friday on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Napa Know-How.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Time to talk a little golf, Robert Emmett. I love the song. You get it, Robert? See why we played that for you?
I got it, man. That was good.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Just got this whole Tiger fever going on. We've been busy.
I said yesterday what would happen, and you're like, dude, I've been busy. And we talked a little bit about it earlier today when we were talking about, again, iconic moments, special moments in sports, what have you. There's no denying the impact that he has, obviously, on ratings, viewer watchability. I've brought up, Robert, I'm at Lakeside Mall Sunday picking out Carver's Easter outfit. The Masters is going on because I planned and I said, let's go do it. I thought it was going to be at 2 o'clock and I'd be home by then. Here I am. It's 11 something. And I was nowhere near the only person who had my phone to the CBS app watching. I saw someone almost take out a slice of pizza from a teenage girl. I saw men everywhere. I mean, my wife's like, put it on. I want to see if he wins. It's incredible to think the impact he had.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it stopped the entire sports world, really. I mean, I had to play in a golf tournament that morning. I brought my iPad out. I've got it in the golf cart, and I feel like I'm barely in a golf shop. I'm staring at my iPad the entire time.
Right.
It's just, we've talked about this before. He moves the needle in sports, you know, better than pretty much anybody else has in the past, you know, like an Ali or a Jordan, et cetera. It's just incredible. And to see on the Sunday morning, everybody expecting it to be in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, now it's 11 a.m., church is canceled, and everybody's watching Tiger. It was amazing to really see.
You know, what's incredible, too, as well, there's so many elements to look at. You almost need days to have gone by to look back at it. So let's kind of compartmentalize it from this aspect of it. The leaderboard. When you look at the leaderboard and you look at the players that he was playing against, not twosomes, threesomes, obviously, but just some huge names, top 10, guys that have won major championships. That's who he had to wind up beating. Does that make it even more special?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It's not like he beat a bunch of no-names. He really, you know, out-dueled the top players in the world. And that's, to me, what I think for Tiger makes it so much sweeter. It's not like one of his previous master wins when, you know, he beat Chris DeMarco and Y.E. Yang. You know, he's staring down really the cream of the crop of the last 4 or 5 years that have taken over since he's been absent. So he got, you know, absent of getting a look down at Jordan Spieth and a Rory McIlroy. He really got, you know, if you look at that T2 spot, you saw a Jason Day, you saw a Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka's got three majors and Tiger's absent. Mm-hmm. You know, he really got to look these kids in the eye and say, hey, man, I'm still here.
Yeah, and you can see the reaction to some of those players, too. There was a shot where Koepka was about to tee off, and you saw him just kind of look to his right when one of the Tiger roars happened. And I think, like, you saw again, it was like, wow. I mean, other players sensed it and felt it. And, you know, for Francesco Molinari, the phrase, and that's golf. kept coming out of my head. This guy was as you watched and he was perfect. Nothing fazed him. And then he goes into the water. You're like, wow, the guy hit two bad shots, a pine cone in the water, and he lost the Masters. The entire tournament, the guy played great. Yeah. He went, 49 holes on a bogey? And then it's incredible. And then, Robert, that's golf.
Yeah, that's the best way to explain it is that's golf. There's no other way. I mean, he's been unflappable on the biggest stage.
Incredible.
For 62 holes, and then all of a sudden, that Tiger effect. It's just you don't know what happens to these guys, but they just melted. And it was awesome to see, these guys have really never been around when Tiger just they've heard about it growing up.
Right.
The Tiger Woods effect. You fall apart when you get around him. Nah, that's not going to happen to me. And Francesco, unflappable, makes two horrendous mistakes. And then, Brooks Koepka on 18 with 8 feet, a pretty straight putt to, really force Tiger to make a par on 18. And the ball didn't even come within a foot of the hole.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how intimidating it is. I love seeing that picture of Tiger almost holing out for a hole-in-one on 16. And then Brooks Koepka and his playing partners on 17 tee just chuckle when they see how loud the crowd got and, had to back off the golf ball. They've never experienced one of those Tiger roars like that, and they got it, right in their face.
Yeah, again, that's what was so incredible about it. And obviously, since that's happened and just minutes after that, Tiger's asked, is he back? And he's like, well, I won the Masters. So can he catch Nicholas? I don't even think about it like that. I did years ago doing with what I do, and I just told him, win one. Just one championship, and it was the Masters. And I said it for me, Robert, because it's the comeback. I think I could barely walk. The family issues, the off the course things, for him to like come back again and just to be off the court and all the things that had to come back. Having him win just one, I'd have been happy and just be like, you know what, that's great. He won another major, but can he really win three more?
I mean, can we count him out? I see this going two ways. One way, just kind of what you said. He won one. He proved to himself that he can still do it.
Right.
That he's still around, and that just kind of vilified. His kids got to see him win a green jacket, and he gets to have that moment, and he just rides off into the sunset. Or it just goes to him and says, okay, I'm here. I'm ready. I can, and really lights the fire even more. We'll see which way it goes. As far as, winning more majors, we're on our way to two back-to-back major stops, sites of two of Tiger's most dominating major wins of all time at Bethpage and Pebble Beach. So can he do it? I mean, he won at Pebble by 12 before. So obviously, yeah, he can win. But it just depends on it. Is he going to have that hangover where he's just, feels like, okay, I proved myself, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Or does he have that fire to say, all right, let's go win another? I think it's the latter, but we'll see. I mean, in the past, you've seen some of those older guys win a major and just say, okay, fine, I've validated my career, time to take a break. That's really not Tiger's MO. So.
Yeah, you almost get the sense and feeling when you heard him talk, though, and the way he carried himself out there. He went, all right, I can do this. If I can do this, it's right there. He looks at it and goes, let's see if I can knock this out in the next 2 years. I think he looked at it like that. He spoke like that. So I think that'll be interesting to see if he can go that route. I'll tell you this, the ratings and people, they're looking to see if it can happen. It's remarkable from one end to another.
Yeah, I mean, it's the ratings, in my opinion, were outstanding. What he's done for the game of golf, what he does for the game of golf, is just, it's unmeasurable. And you're going to see, for the next 6 months, it's going to be near impossible to get a tee time at any golf course. It's just, it's amazing. And you can't, so it's great for the sport. I really hope he hangs around. For the city of New Orleans, we've got the Zurich next week. So, it really gets the golf bug going.
Yeah.
But I want to see him compete. I want to see him win another tournament and really validate his win this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, I know what you guys do at Golf Tech. You're swing coaches. You try to get people's games better. Is it baffle you as someone that does what you do as we close out here in the final 60 seconds? If the guy could hit a fairway, he'd be unbeatable. I mean, he's like, the recovery shots are insane, but he's going to come close to hitting the fairway.
Yeah, and it's like he knows that. It's just, you know, as long as he can find that same golf ball off the tee box,
it's incredible.
He's happy.
It's incredible. But, I mean, Robert, I mean, you're a golf coach. Can you help him hit the fairway, man?
He's trying to swing so fast to keep up with those young kids. That's why he can't hit the fairway. But, you know, if he hangs around for senior tour golf where he can just hit that 2-iron 240 yards, and he'll win every golf tournament. So
It really is. It's remarkable. I know me. I'm happy if I can keep it within the trees, you know, and – Well, I guess I can say this, Robert, as we say goodbye. I'm Tiger-like off the tee.
There you go.
Thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it. As always, we'll catch up soon.
You got it, bud. Thank you.
Robert Emmett of Golf Tech. See what I just did there, Jordan? I just made myself like Tiger.
Stop.
What?
Only I could be like Tiger.
No, I'm just saying. Me off the tee. And there it is. It's couple of trees. Tiger Woods at the Masters off the tee. Four
in the hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard a couple of those when the last few.
That's right. You heard it here first. I'm Tiger-like. Why did your head just go down? Are you embarrassed of me?
No,
I'm Tiger-like.
Because I said I could be Steph Curry. So
that's true.
I mean,
what's more ridiculous? Me saying I'm Tiger-like off the tee, or you saying that you can beat Steph Curry? I think you win. Because what I'm referring to is that I will hit it in the trees off the tee. That's very real. That's real. You got no shot at beating Steph Curry.
I can make a couple threes.
Not a shot. You're not getting a shot off. You don't get that, do you?
I can give it.
No, he's stealing the ball from you. Hour 3 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.